If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of the Completely Unnecessary Podcast, the last one for the year, Tuesday, December 31st, 2019. That's Ian Ferguson, backcountry, sniffly backcountry. On the show, he's talking about the Akira Genesis prototype being dumped. A lost game is found by someone who made it one as a kid. That's an interesting story. The return of the scumbag sub of the week. The scumbag sub of the decade on top. And the return of Tales from the Game Store.
That's right.
And a semi-Q&A and a Patreon poll. Ian, how was your Christmas?
It was Christmassy.
Come on, Ian.
I cooked, and we played bad video games, which seems to be what we do on holidays.
What did you play?
We played Garfield Kart.
Garfield Kart?
Yes.
What system is that?
There's a Steam version that I have that I got for like 43 cents on sale once.
Oh, so it was on the PC?
Well, no. But there's a series of Garfield Kart games.
Oh, I want one on the DS.
And then our friend Amy came over for Christmas, and she brought the Garfield Kart for the Nintendo Switch. And
okay.
We played that, and it was not very good.
One came out on the Switch. I'm looking at it right now. So they came out in 3DS and Windows in 2013. I guess that was the first one. I guess for the movie, did the second movie come out around then? I thought the movie was before that with Bill Murray. 35% off on Steam.
Yeah, Garfield Kart Furious Racing on the Nintendo Switch.
Can I be Nermal?
Yeah, you can. You can.
I mean, how many
Nermal
characters are in Garfield? I mean, I guess if you do the
You can be Nermal,
US
you can
Acres.
Be Garfield, you can be John, you can be
Orwell?
Liz. Now you could not be the U.S. Acres characters,
well,
which we thought was kind of an odd omission.
It is,
but maybe people don't.
It's
know.
A creepy 3D graphics looking thing.
Yeah, it was not good.
Oh God, yeah. It's not sprites. Okay, so it wasn't good at all, or just it was what it was.
It wasn't very good.
Who the hell would play as John in it?
I don't know.
There's a
John with a top hat. I'm not sure if that's the only John you can have, but there was definitely a John with a top hat on the road.
There's a woman character, I guess, as his girlfriend. I don't
read. Liz.
Liz
the veterinarian.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's the only other character I know of.
Well, in the early days, there was Lyman.
Who the fuck is that?
Lyman was his friend. If you look up Lyman and Garfield, you'll see.
They wrote him out?
Yeah, they did. They wrote him out, I think, by the mid-80s.
Like Ron Howard's brother, the first season of Chuck in Happy Days, they just wrote him out?
Yes.
They pretend he didn't exist? Well, that sounds good. Did you get any nice presents, Ian?
Yes.
What'd you get, Ian?
I got a book based a graphic novel on the history of electronic music.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You got a certain fishing simulator too.
I did.
You got Ultimate Fishing Simulator.
Well, you got me two of them. I did start to play Ultimate Fishing Simulator.
Was it great? Was it ultimate?
It seems pretty decent.
Yeah. All right. It's not a Russian money laundering front, that publisher, Ian. It's a real company, or still could be. We don't know.
We don't know. But it's
competent.
It's pretty good. It's got tons of licensed lures and rods.
Licensed lures, okay.
Things that I know nothing about because I don't actually like fishing in real life. I just like fishing video games.
Now you see where the $20 went towards.
Yes.
You gotta get the licenses for the lures.
Well, it was a DLC pack that I did not purchase.
Oh, okay.
But everything appears to be licensed. There's a bunch of different lakes. When you're fishing, you see these odd floating like ponds that represent other people who are fishing at the same lake as you at the same time,
like online people.
Yeah, and there's like a little text scroll in the corner that tells you like who's caught what, and how
fantastic.
Much it weighs.
It's open world fishing. Is there career mode or just competitions? Or just
there's competitions. I was just practicing, but yeah, there's online tournaments and stuff. Yeah, I caught some brown trout. Caught a rock trout.
It felt very, very good. The action on the reel.
Nice. Yeah, it was very nice.
What did I get? I got a Newegg gift code from my father. Shows he's like 12 years behind on what's hip, but he tried. Newegg. It was weird because you can't like put it with your account. You got to keep the codes. It's still like you have to keep your code somewhere and then only use it when you're buying something. It's one of those annoying ones still. So I'm like, okay, I haven't bought something on Newegg in years. I guess I can buy like a portable hard drive or something or an enclosure. I haven't done that in a while. So I went back to Pennsylvania to visit my family's there. My sister moved there like 7-8 years ago. My parents moved there like 4 years ago. And I literally got, Ian, you should be happy. This is the first time ever I got an NES Punk Christmas video done before Christmas.
Yes, it's very good. Very good of you.
I had gotten one. I think the Star Wars one from like 4 years ago was done late on Christmas, but this one was done before, and I got it done 2 hours before my flight was going to leave on the 23rd, and I flew standby, and I got on a flight to Denver. The Denver one was at midnight to get there Christmas Eve morning. I sent my sister and my dad a group text saying, yeah, I'm getting on the plane. I'll be there, you know, tomorrow morning at like, you know, around 6 a.m. Like the plane lands like 5:15. It's like 45-minute drive to my parents. And then I'd used a group text before when I was in Hawaii to send them pictures. Of course, neither of them looked at it. So when I arrived, you know, 30 degrees, I was literally ringing the doorbell 6 a.m. my parents' stoop like a madman and called them up and kept ringing the door like 6 times. I was ready to call my sister to come pick me up. My mom sees me. She's happy. They kept it a secret from her entirely. But my dad sees me and he's like, oh, you're here. I'm like, yeah, I texted you. He goes, oh, you didn't text me. I said, let me see your phone. So on my phone, there was like, you know, you have a contact picture.
Yeah.
So there was two of my pictures. The first one was the regular texting, nothing. Below it was the group text with my face on it with the indicator little light or picture, that, like whatever, yellow thing that I sent a message. He didn't check it. My dad didn't check it. So if I ever get that old, Ian, this is permission. This is legally binding. If I ever get that old where technology passed me by that much, just you have permission to shoot me. That's legally binding. It's legal. Makes it legal.
Yes.
Just put me out of my misery if I ever get like that there. But it was good. I had the Feast of the Seven Fishes. My sister did a great meal. Oh, it was great.
It looked excellent. I saw pictures of
it. I should have put that in Instagram. That's an Instagram thing. Did I tweet it or I just sent you a picture of it?
No, I just saw it on Twitter.
I did tweet it out. That's an Instagram. I got a master Instagram in 2020. We'll get into 2020 later on in the show what our plans are there. And then I saw Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. I did like a 35-minute review of it, a little long, a little rambly. It's funny because I talked to Andre about it, Black Nerd Comedy, and he doesn't want to do a video on it, but we had the greatest time talking about it because I guessed like most of the stuff that was going to happen and try to fix the holes from The Last Jedi. And then I found out more stuff behind the scenes from another friend about what could have happened during production. Just a fucking mess.
It sounds like
it's a mess.
I mean,
it sounds like, from all indications, like they re-edited and reshot a bunch of it. Like it sounded like they were editing up to the last second. They made it in the editing room, the movie. Like it could have been a 3-hour movie. It sounds like there was a 3-hour cut of it, and they cut it down to 2.5 hours, and it shows. Like, do a 3-hour movie. It's the last one. No one would have cared. Infinity War was 3 hours.
Sure.
I mean, Endgame was 3 hours. Avengers, oh my god, I can't believe it that this is the way Star Wars goes out. Just like, there's no reason for this trilogy to exist. I mean, that's the bottom. Like, there's no.
I can absolutely believe that this is how Star Wars goes out because there hasn't been a good Star Wars movie since Return of the Jedi.
I like The Force Awakens. I rewatched it. I thought The Force Awakens was fine. It laid a decent groundwork. I thought, even though it was a retread, but all these movies are retreads. The Force and the Jedis are fucking boring. I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, people say, hate when I say that phrase. I don't care. This is space wizards and space knights fighting, and you can only see that so much until you realize, okay, I'm too old for this. I got to move on. Like, that's what's happened, at least with me. And that's okay.
I don't think it's an age thing. I just think it's...
I think it is.
I think it's...
Well, at least I'm too used to seeing it. I've seen 9 movies of the same shit.
Oh, sure.
Now. Same shit in 9 movies. Space knights fighting each other. Space wizards throwing objects at each other. There's nothing practically, like, intelligent about these movies. It's just dumb fantasy, which is fine. I'm just over it. Give me the Picard series that's coming out. Give me that.
Sure.
Give me something. Give me some moral dilemmas I could actually think about things, you know, that happen. You know, give me that. So, anyway. Sorry. I mean, I was a huge Star Wars fan growing up. I'm just over it now. And now I hear about The Mandalorian. Oh, Mandalorian is good. Until...
You've been over it.
Yeah.
Constantly on the podcast for quite some time.
Oh,
Are you actually over it, or are you just...
No. The Mandalorian's interesting, but then I'm like, oh, this is going to be an adult Star Wars thing until I hear about Baby Yoda taking over the world. And then, of course, they have the one thing that I hoped was not going to be in The Mandalorian that's in the finale, I hear, which ruined it for me. Now I don't want to watch it.
Oh, isn't that... Well, yeah.
There's a fucking lightsaber.
Yeah. That's dumb.
This close, Mandalorian. You almost had me. I gave you a big shot. Baby Yoda was going to overlook because it's adorable and it's practical little puppet. Cute as hell.
Well, and I mean, it's not like he's a Goo Goo Gaga baby.
Yes, but even in Solo.
I think your big problem is that the internet has run with this Baby Yoda thing and now it's jammed it into your face.
My problem is that I guess Star Wars fans, if it doesn't have a goddamn lightsaber in it, the whole thing is shit. Because even in Solo, Ian, did you see Solo?
No.
In Solo, at the end, Solo's girlfriend who turns into like a mercenary assassin somehow, at the end, Darth Maul comes on a screen. You find out, oh, she's really searching and working with Darth Maul, who survived the Phantom Menace, which happened in the Clone Wars TV show, which was pretty good.
Actually, the Clone Wars TV show is Vani loves,
which
that.
Is fine.
Yeah.
So she's talking to Darth Maul. I'm like, okay. And then, for no fucking reason at all, he has to light up his fucking lightsaber while he's talking to her. Just to do it. There's no reason to do it at all. There's no reason. Just to have a lightsaber in every fucking Star Wars thing that ever existed.
Like a person playing with their
zip. Yeah, it's like, oh, here's my fucking lightsaber. I'm bringing out my cock to show you. That's what it felt like. Don't cross me. You know he has the double lightsaber, the person working for him.
I have a lightsaber.
Yes.
Don't cross me.
Look at the shiny object, Star Wars nerds.
Yeah.
You got to have it in every Star Wars movie now. It used to be like sparingly used in the first trilogy, and now it's every second a lightsaber. Sorry, I'm getting old man Pat now, but I don't know. You know those X-Wing and TIE Fighter games didn't have lightsabers in them. They were fine. I liked them. Dark Forces.
I was going to say
the first Dark Forces didn't have a lightsaber. Of course, in the second one, they make him a goddamn Jedi. In the second one, it was fine before that. Not everything has to be Jedis and lightsabers. Sorry.
We've been down this path.
We have.
A lot. We've been down this path a lot.
I guess Star Wars is just never grew up the way I wanted it to. It always stayed like, you know, for like 12-year-olds.
You grew up smart and Star Wars grew up dumb. Pat.
But they laid the groundwork with the video games in the 90s. They were more adult.
Anyway, I started watching The Witcher.
Was there a lightsaber in Rogue Squadron?
I don't know.
Or Shadows of the Empire?
I don't know.
Sorry, Witcher TV show?
Yeah, I just started watching that.
Henry Cavill?
Yeah.
Whoa,
he's a handsome guy.
Yeah, he's got the butt chin going on. He looks like Superman. He
Holy
is Superman.
Shit. I was reading about how I was reading fan off. But when I was reading about how he kept wearing through the leather costume.
What do you mean he kept wearing through?
His muscles. They made his costume so tight.
They made the pleather so tight?
That he was wearing through his costume, and they had to replace his costume multiple times during
his,
the filming
his
of
bulging
the show.
Thigh muscles were coming through the leggings.
Well, well, that guy. Anyways.
You have to be ripped to be the Witcher. I mean, you got to be in shape, but... You know.
But, I'm 3 episodes in. I'll probably finish it this week. We've been busy. There's a lot of moments where I was like, oh, that's kind of like, that's some cringy fantasy there. But
Is it like sci-fi show level bad or just a
step above? No, like actually it looks very nice for the most part. But story-wise, I'm just like, you know, they rush some stuff along.
It follows a game or the books? I don't know.
From what I understand, it follows the early short stories and probably the games.
I don't know the Witcher lore.
Neither do I. And that's kind of the cool thing, going in without knowing any of it. It's been pretty fun. It's got me interested in maybe playing the game. I've got the third one on my PlayStation 4. Yeah, I think it's a worthwhile series. There's some stuff that happens, like, I won't say exactly what, but like a lot of characters in the first three episodes just show up and die. It's like, okay, we get it. You want to be the Game of Thrones. We get it.
Oh, really?
It. Yeah, because
it's super serious. You don't. Please don't sneeze in my TurboGrafx games.
Whoa, that was a good.
We don't give a shit. It's the end of the year.
But no, I mean it's pretty fun. But yeah, it's like okay, I see where they're taking influence from Game of Thrones. But on
it
like,
looks
Game of
semi
Thrones,
cheap. The trailer, like in terms of like just the how it's staged and the
I don't know from
no,
what
art design. No, is it
compared to what I compared to what I saw like what I've seen in terms of previews for Mandalorian? Mandalorian looks like a cheap show.
But it's in the middle, like the you know.
This has some pretty decent production behind it.
Okay.
It's not, like I said, it's not Game of Thrones level, but it doesn't need to be.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it seemed pretty.
You got the beefy Cavill taking his fucking tub thing. Even the trailer got to show him in the tub with his legs up. Is that a thing in the games? I guess it always happens. You take a bath.
I have no idea because I've never played
the game. Beefcake for the ladies.
But there's that famous scene of him in the bathtub with his feet out that they fucking post everywhere. So
well, yeah, that's from all the games. So they had to put that in the game.
Yeah, the show, you mean?
Well, I guess. Yeah. How's the hair look? Does it look bad, the wig, or is it okay, the silver hair?
It's fine.
It's fine?
It's fine. You're not looking at his hair.
Looking at his beefy traps?
He's chest hams.
His chest hams. Speaking of swords and sorcery, Ian Vanni got me Dark Souls remastered for the Switch, which I should try this. I will play this.
I don't know if you'll like it, but that at least you don't have to pay for it to find out.
Okay.
So give it a go.
Well, I hope you didn't spend more than $20. But thank you so much. I have a few Switch games here. Yeah, and it's all on the disc. It has the DLC, the art. Arterias of the Abyss, Artorias.
It's everything.
It's everything. Okay. You're my everything, Ian.
Yeah.
You're my popsicle. Okay. Anything else happening? Happiness and cheer. Oh, we got enamel pins. Go to ultimatenintendo.com. It's my web store. Also got a books there. We got the enamel pins. We have to at least break even on these pins. Then the podcast can end. We have to break even first.
As soon as we make that break even dollar,
we clear out the rest red tag sale for 50 cents each.
I'm gone. No.
The not for resale, we're hoping, well, it's going to be hopefully on Amazon for purchase or rent in January, as long as the Blu-rays for sale. Ooh, there's no physical media of it. Yeah, there will be. I don't want to ship them out myself, but I might have to, unless the warehouse does it. So yeah, here's to a good 2000. You got any New Year's plans? I don't. I never have New Year's plans.
I'm going to go home, make a lot of chicken.
Make a chest ham.
Make a lot of chicken. I think I'm going to play Jackbox games tonight with my friend John. Might do
just,
that.
Just the two of you? Vonnie?
Yeah, Vonnie after work.
Spike? Spike can handle the controller?
Yeah, Spike. Spike can just paw at it.
He just paw at the cell phone? Maybe the Amico will be for Spike. He'll like that. He can just use the one paw to control it. Too complicated.
Just one on the disc.
Oh, no, the paw on the disc. It'll be the console for cats.
Yes. Chase the lights around it.
There you go. We're doing the marketing research for you, Tommy. Okay. On to this first Yuletide topic. This happened around Christmas time, Ian.
So this is fairly fantastic. Hidden Palace released the prototype ROM for Akira on the Sega Genesis. So Akira was it's a very influential manga and movie. By Katsuhiro Otomo.
One of the biggest ones, right? Yeah.
I mean, it was one of the biggest ones, especially in terms of kind of breaking that to more mainstream American audiences.
Sure.
You know, Ebert did a review of it. You know, I mean, it got
the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it got big. It was pushed very, very heavily over here for a anime movie, especially at the time. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic tale about, you know, basically, ostensibly at the beginning about rival bike gang factions.
Holy shit, it takes place in 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
it already
perfect.
And then it goes on to be, you know, much more than that.
Sort of Blade Runner, right? It was 2019.
Yeah, yeah, Blade Runner was as well.
Wow, this is fucking me. This is screwing my mind.
So, it was popular. It was, you know, definitely popular with a certain subset over here. It seemed like it would have been ripe for a video game adaptation. There was a Famicom version that came out that is a visual novel, and also a Game Boy version that is also basically a visual novel that have really nice art, but there's really nothing to be discussed in terms
of. Well, there
of
was
gameplay.
Also that incomplete, unreleased one. By that special game preservationist that had the copy on Game Boy of Akira as well.
Yeah, right.
I don't know where the hell that is.
So, anyways, so it looks like what's this gentleman's name here? Black Pearl. Lawrence Siegel, who's CEO of Black Pearl Software, was given a VHS of the movie. Saw it, liked it, and decided that, you know, there was enough beats in the film to make a game out of it.
Okay.
So he actually traveled to Japan and met Mr. Otomo, Katsuhiro Otomo, who gifted him with 50 animation cells, it says in this article on Hidden Palace, which is pretty freaking awesome, and wished him the best of luck when he went to go get the rights. So what's interesting right off the bat here is that the Genesis version of this was going to be developed by a Western studio, not a studio in Japan. I think that's kind of interesting. So basically they developed it, they started to develop it, and due to a merger or a buyout by THQ, eventually it got shuffled off to the side and never finished. It's a really interesting looking game though. In that it kind of pulls from the Golgo 13 line of games.
Multi-genre game.
Multi-engine.
My favorite genre of game.
Multi-engine, multi-genre.
Which is difficult to pull off well, obviously.
Vice Project Doom also did it on the Nintendo. Did it very well. It's not always easy to pull that off. But the
Ultimate Stuntman.
Ultimate Stuntman. So the ROM's been released, and there's now gameplay footage up. There was gameplay footage from a trade show, and it's slightly different from the trade show footage. What's interesting is that it actually does seem to follow the beats of the movie pretty well. There's the motorcycle section. There's side-scrolling with Kaneda. There's first-person segments with Tetsuo in the hospital.
Yeah, it's online. You can see like 60 minutes of gameplay footage from Hidden Palace. There's like several different types of.
There's an isometric scene that looks almost like an RPG, and then there's like a side-by-side section.
First-person shooter in a hospital.
Yeah, I brought
that up.
First-person segment with Tetsuo in the hospital, and it's pretty great. If you know the movie, you should definitely watch the footage, because he's actually sending out the psychic blasts and just ripping the people apart, and it's funny to see it in Genesis graphics to see that part of the movie represented. So it actually, like, when you watch, there's a 10-minute gameplay clip up there, and I think there's a longer one, but if you watch the 10-minute one, it does follow the beats of the movie as well as you would hope a video game version of Akira would. And it
so
actually
looked like a promising path to follow.
Yeah, it looked like something that, I mean, who knows how it controlled or how it would have ended up, but it actually looks like it would have been pretty neat to play, at least as a fan
of the
movie.
There's little cutscenes in it, which is cute.
Oh, yeah, the cutscenes look really good. Yeah,
there's a fighting battle, a fighting scene.
Yeah, at the end, it shows
action
Tetsuo
platformer.
And Kaneda.
You know, it's super ambitious.
Like shooter, racing, fighter,
isometric little stage, action stage.
So
first person stage where you're blowing up nurses with an energy beam, kind of violent. But that's Akira, right?
The movie's very violent.
Okay.
So
sounds like, according to this article, it was going to be on the Super Nintendo as well, and then it was canceled as well.
So the Super Nintendo one, it said, was likely to be different. The Super Nintendo one, I think they said, was going to be almost entirely isometric. similar to Shadowrun, and they do have some release. They release some sprite sheets of the for the Super Nintendo one that you can see on the HiddenPalace.org article as well. But yeah, the game looks great. I would actually consider this one to be a real shame that it was never finished. And I'll definitely give the prototype a try. You know, not all licensed games turn out great. Very few of them do, especially back then. But this one looked like it had a chance.
So they showed this off at, was it a Summer CES 94? And that version, they said it was more finished because it had...
there was enemies on the bike level.
And music that wasn't in this version, sounds like. So, yeah. So there's different copies out there. It's good to see this. And this was... in the middle of the night was someone named Matsuda got a copy of it somehow, and it was still burned on the EPROMs.
Two PCBs,
burnt with the same build, and now they're preserved. That's fantastic.
Yep, that's wonderful.
I like that this is happening every like three, four months now. We're preserving stuff.
Yeah, we're in this weird period where I think I think one of the thoughts was a few years ago, I think people were erroneously thinking that, you know, we had found a lot of the stuff that we were going to find. Well, but now with a heightened focus on video game preservation that's taken place over the past 2 years, you know, people see this stuff now and they say, hey, this is actually something that we should probably check out, as opposed to binning it or getting rid of it or recycling the EPROMs or whatever.
And I think, fortunately... much of the community has turned against where people are holding these hostage or trying to make money off of making, you know, bootleg copies. That's more sure. and more being frowned upon. The more and more this gets into the public eye about this, like it's not cool. There's now more like social mores where it's like, all right, you're not helping anyone out by doing that, you know, and then you're making it harder for the next person who's going to hold it hostage. So there's been a lot of different things that happened, I think, over the past couple of years, where 5-6 years ago, all the NES prototypes, you couldn't get them until they were released on a cartridge and sold like a few hundred people. So they had to make right. their money back on them first, you know, quote unquote. People that got, a lot of these people got these for free back in the day, or very cheap, and they had to make their money because they were afraid of someone else making the, you know, the bootleg. So it was always a weird thing like that on Nintendo age
sure.
back then. So this is good news. I love this. And I like the little gif on the bottom. He's eating the piece of chicken.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it'd be interesting to see. Maybe the Super Nintendo one will be found, or someone has to have this somewhere, you'd hope, not just thrown in a drawer somewhere or destroyed. Yeah. I'm not a big Akira person. I never actually saw it. I got to watch it at some point. But it has that like Blade Runner sort of like future aesthetic as well, right?
It's a mess of a movie, but it's worth watching just for the speaking the animation of that, for sure.
Speaking of all that, wait to say Sid Mead passed away.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
That's a shame. Artist on things like Alien and Blade Runner, things like that. Had futuristic design.
And Sid Mead's terraforming.
And Sid Mead's terraforming, the last game I need in my collection, yes. So, you know, I didn't know much about the guy, but obviously his influence for stuff I was like Akira as well, because you know, probably took some stuff from Blade Runner, and that visual aesthetic was so unique, not really done before. So, all right, well, here you go. We'll check out the ROM. You can download on the site, I believe, right? Yeah, because I've seen people playing it on YouTube. So, yeah, the prototype's right there, I think. I don't know. I can't navigate Hidden Palace. I'm never good at navigating the website.
So Lyman has 69 appearances in Garfield.
Good way to end the topic. There
just
you
so you know.
Okay. All right, this was an interesting story. We like a feel-good story on the CU podcast. Maybe our resolution will be less. We'll be the more the counter to the angry.
I don't know if it's necessarily feel-good as much as it is just strange.
I think it's a feel-good story.
It's neat, yeah.
Okay. A programmer lost a game he made as a kid until someone streamed it on Twitch. Okay. This is a Kotaku article from Heather Alexandra. So his name was Rick Brewster. He was a programmer of an author of Paint.net, a free replacement for Microsoft Paint. I had no idea that was a thing, but I guess you always, if you wanted a replacement back in the 90s or whatever, that's a good idea. So at the age of 12 in 94, he made the Golden Flute 4, the Flute of Immortality, a DOS-based...
No, it's not a replacement for that. It's like a current day thing.
Oh, it's a current day thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think they include Paint anymore.
Oh, there's not a Microsoft Paint anymore?
I don't think they include Paint or Solitaire anymore.
Sons of bitches.
I could be wrong, but I know that they started pulling that stuff.
Okay. At the age of 12, he made the Golden Flute for the Flute of Immortality, which is a great name for a game, a DOS-based RPG inspired by a text adventure from 84, an instructional book on how to write adventure games. So he wrote it on a Tandy, which is an IBM clone. And it was a traditional role-playing game. You have a character, get a map, random encounters, you buy supplies, blah, blah, blah. So he said, I made one installable copy onto a 3.5, a 720K disc that I packaged and mailed to my cousin on the East Coast, and that's it. So imagine that happens, and then, you know, 20, 25 years later, you see it on Twitch being played.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell is going on? And that's what happened. So thankfully, I guess he was alerted to this, and then they're able to obviously preserve it. If somehow went from his cousin into the world. It's like, yeah. It's the weirdest thing possible.
So they posit that he had perhaps uploaded it to a BBS or something that had then been, like, scraped for, you know, a big repository. It was on I think they said it was on, like, Best of Shareware Volume 4 or something like that.
And when you look at the game, it's a competent game. It looks nice.
It looks, and it was...
I love how he walks.
it looks like one of those games that I think any 12-year-old makes. Because I used to make a bunch of games using, like, QBasic or C or even, like, Click and Play and stuff like that. And all of them were, like, half-finished ideas. And I think that's kind of what this is, only it looks a little bit better than that. And
so played by a streamer was named Macaw, expert at finding old games and strange compilations.
There never watched that person's stream, but someone,
now you want it, right?
But someone I talk to is always like drawing art of their streams, and they seem like they play very, very interesting things. So I would probably check that
out. It looks
out.
Very influenced by like something like Out of This World, the graphics. It's interesting. There's like an alien with some boobies. He's in shot with a phaser. It looks great.
So, he was asked if he would release part 2 and 3, and he was like, well, if I can find them, you know.
Does he have the original?
He said they might be on discs back home or something.
How did you
like
not
that.
Save this? This is fantastic.
So.
It's like a, you know. Ian's got the audio.
Yep, there's getting rid of it. But yeah, I think the stuff you're watching on... that you're seeing on the Macaw stream, that's not the same game.
Oh, it's not the same game? What is this stream I'm watching?
That's just stuff that he
streams. Oh, he's just going through everything?
Yeah, that's just stuff that he streams. I think it's just...
Oh, here it is. It's at the end,
it's at the end. He was just going through a bunch of different games.
Oh, is this one at the end? At like 5 hours in? I think that's it. Yeah, it's at like 5 hours, 20 minutes in. Yeah, because it's CG graphics. There it is. Yeah, go to like...
CGA?
CGA. It's 5 hours, like 18 minutes into the stream. Yeah. There it is. Yeah, what was I saying? The other one looked, it was 90s. This is 80s. Oh, it's fantastic. There's a red monster's pal written on it when you hit him. This is fantastic.
Yeah. This is exactly what I would expect of it. This is pretty awesome. It's obviously, it looks like it's using like the draw functions and stuff like that to get the crude graphics.
Oh, there's like a salamander.
Salamander
with a sword.
Yep, fighter.
This
magic
is awesome.
User, poof. Thief. I like the there's an icon where you can choose your hero, and for thief it shows someone's butt and a hand reaching towards the pockets. At 12, that's probably a really
this
good
is
way
damn
to,
good
that's really that's a good way to like you know show thief but
yeah he plays it on the stream for like only like 15 minutes. This will give you an idea.
But that's bizarre. That would be like one of my younger brother's random platforming games, like popping up out of nowhere again.
Your brother made a random platforming game?
Like I was just saying, my brother and I used to make all sorts of stupid little games.
Do you have them?
No, but I mean,
oh come on, Ian, that'd be great.
If they ever like, if, I mean, you know.
Come on, it's on a disc back home.
Mm-mm. No, I kept that. I took care of that stuff for years and years and years, and then at one point I lost all of it. So
it seems like it was. This is. Brewster replied via Twitter DM to Kotaku, offering more specifics about the game's discovery. Although his cousin cannot remember uploading the game, it seems to have been collected part of a Cream of the Crop 5 shareware compilation that was put together in 94. So somehow someone stole it and put it on a shareware disc. I'm guessing that happened more often than you'd think.
And then it was probably charging $5 for discs that cost $2.50. $5
for, you know, 150, 200 games that, you know, you make some money. How about the flea markets used to have them? Like 93, 94, it happened all the time. Happened all the time. The version of the game was also found on Fido.net. Asked whether or not we could see the release of Golden Flute 2 and 3, Brewster said yes. I don't see why not. I looked around for it yesterday, but I couldn't find it. The disc may be at my parents' house somewhere. I'll have to ask them. Oh, that's great. Oh, it's fantastic. What a fantastic story. Yeah, I'm sorry. I misidentified it at first. Yeah, it's just it's cute CGA graphics. That ugly, ugly red, ugly green, ugly yellow.
It's magenta.
Magenta?
Cyan. Cyan. Yellow, magenta.
So I used to play Wheel of Fortune with Vanna White shuffling around.
Looking very, very pink and fresh.
Yes, with the pink hair. What a feel-good story to send out the year right here before Christmas. I love it. Okay. Ian, we have a scumbag.
Seller.
Of.
The.
Week.
Week.
Haven't done this in a while.
No,
in a while. Wow. This is seller wicked underscore retro, Ian. And what you get from this person is not a repro manual that's shipped to you or a repro case. It's a DVD of PDFs. You get all 159 Sega CD games. Not the games, the manuals.
The manuals.
In PDF format for $20.
Ah, the reasonable price of $19.99 for PDFs and stuff that you can find online for free.
A treasure trove of classic video game documentation. Perfect for any Sega gamer and retro video game enthusiast. Because you know what, Ian?
Perfect for the collectionist in your life.
Yes, you get a lot of customers that come in and say, you know what, I want every Sega CD manual. If only I can get my hands on every Sega CD game manual. Let's see. Every manual in this digital compilation has been meticulously restored to ensure quality on any device you read these on. Because you know, Ian, when I'm on the train, bring up my iPhone. I want to read that Corpse Killer manual on my phone in clear quality. Then you can even print these out. All manuals are 100% in their entirety. There are no missing pages. Visit the following link to view the complete list. And you get the Sega service manuals as well. You get the 32X manuals. I'm sure this is a person that meticulously restored themselves. Oh, no, probably not. They just pulled them from a torrent.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's probably what happened here. Yeah. Notice to eBay. This product is in full compliance and full accordance to eBay's media policy and unauthorized copies policy. Really? Really?
Is it?
Really?
Because you said so? Because I don't think it is. That's awesome.
I don't think.
Hey, eBay. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
You know, maybe Wicked underscore Retro did the due diligence of getting the copyright clearance for all 159 manuals. You don't know, Ian.
I'm sure they did.
You can go to nostalgictext.com and see the list there. So that's $20 from Wicked underscore Retro. And then let's see what else they have for sale here. See other items. Oh, you get all 25 digital issues of Sega Visions magazine. You know how many websites have like the full... There's a website dedicated to all video game... which one is it called? There's a video game magazine website where you can get all the digital versions of.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
It's great. It has like even esoteric ones. Oh, man. I Retromags.com.
There it is.
There's one right there. And a lot of them are on Archive, I think, the Web Archive website as well. There.
Yes.
So, yeah, you don't need the PDFs. Dreamcast Magazine, all 13 issues. Poor Dreamcast, only had 13 issues. That's for sale for $15. You get a discount.
What a steal.
For that 50-cent DVD that takes you a minute and a half to burn those at most. The Sega Saturn Magazine compilation, all 37 issues. 37 issues, wow. That's $20. And you can get the Sega Dreamcast Complete Game Manual Collection, all 240 games, for $20 as well, or best offer. There, so there you go. This person is a specialist.
Well, there's no room on a DVD to put all the Sega.
Yeah, you
DVD
couldn't
and the Genesis.
You couldn't
ones.
Fit
you couldn't
like all five of these collections on one DVD. That's impossible to do that. You know, DVD only holds like 5 gigs.
Just
on there.
Got to get back what I put into it.
Well, they're a preservationist. They're preserving these, Ian. They got to get back their time and effort to digitally scan all these themselves.
Each one meticulously scanned in by hand.
Watch us. Maybe Wicked Ritual really did meticulously scan all of these. We don't know, but probably not.
Either way, you still can't sell that.
No, you still can't sell it. It's illegal to sell it. It doesn't go against eBay's policies. I'm sure it does.
No, no, this is fine. It's totally okay. I swear to you, this is A-okay.
How many has he sold? I gotta look at the feedback now. I gotta see if he's actually sold these before. He sold them. He sold the Sega Visions magazines one at least 3 times. That's the hot seller. He sold in the past month. He sold it twice. The Sega Visions one.
Past month, twice, Christmas time. Someone got duped.
The positive feedback was awkward transaction start, but ended up just fine. Great item recommended.
Awkward transaction start?
That's weird.
He hand-delivered them to my house nude, but everything was on the disc as stated.
One from the past year said, bought it thinking it was actual mags. Need to add digital collection to title. Well, if you do that, you're likely to get pulled off because you're technically not allowed, I think, to sell digital software on eBay unless it's like a special part of eBay that's not seen by the rest. Because I'm not allowed to sell my digital book on eBay for some reason. You're not allowed to do that.
I think that's what he's trying to imply with the eBay thing is it's a physical DVD, guys. I'm clear. Don't worry about it.
Well, when you say Sega CD complete manual collection lot, PDF DVD, that's like, yeah, you got to parse it out in your own head. I can see how some people might have been confused by it. But I guess at some point, digital wasn't in the description and someone bought it and got screwed on it. So then again, you're not going to get all the physical magazines for $20.
No.
On 20-year-old Sega Visions, almost 30-year-old Sega Visions magazines. I think I own like one Sega Visions with Sonic on it.
I'm happy we've got all the. Yeah, I think everyone had that one because it was a free giveaway at one point.
They threw it in a Genesis box or something.
It was like send in a self-addressed stamped envelope and we'll send this to you.
Oh God, the SASEs. That was the fun day. All right, this was a fun one. Send me a SASE. All right, well, this is our DVD. And by the way, the reason I say this is for convenience or what have you. But nowadays, you grab yourself something like a NordVPN, you get a torrent of these, and then, you know, you don't need to buy it for $20. These are, or you go to RetroMags. Does RetroMags have SegaVision? I can almost guarantee you RetroMags.com has SegaVision on there. They have everything. They have even, I think, Computer Entertainer on there. Let's see.
Picturing a computer with a top hat and a cane.
I was like, hey, I used that extensively for my research for the Steam Events video you never saw that you were in. Mm. Remember? That was fun. No, I don't remember. All right, let's see. Control F, Sega Visions. Oh, yeah, you can get Sega Visions on RetroMags.com.
It's probably the same PDF files.
Yeah, you can get it. So just go to RetroMags.com. It's free. They have like literally like a couple hundred different worldwide video game magazines. They have almost everything that's out there. You know, they should be working with Frank at the Video Game History Foundation. They probably work hand in glove there with all the stuff that's going on there. All right, well, what is it? Wicked Retro? Or is it Retro Wicked? Wicked underscore Retro, you're the scumbag seller of the week. To close out the year. Close out the year. Speaking of scumbag sellers of the week, Ian, we forgot to do this a couple weeks ago when we recorded. We were trying to think about. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say this in the intro, that we have the Best of the CU Podcast Volume 1 up for view. Go watch that. It's fun. It's like 2 hours long, Ian.
That's a long time.
And that's not even some of the heavy hitters. We can do like probably 7 or 8 parts. But the last podcast, we wanted to do the Scumbag Seller of the Decade.
Yes.
Decade. And we forgot. So in our mind, we're thinking of what's a few of them. We had the person that was, remember, doing the really bad Snatcher reproduction, mm-hmm. awful DVD or CD. And then there was a few others. There was like that one ROM seller that was really bad on eBay or a website that...
There was the classic. There was also the classic one with the website that was really, really painful looking.
They
changed the background on it. And also
we were talking
about how we could also like get into...
their Google Drive. Google Drive document. Yes. Drive. Oh God, I wish I knew which one that was specifically was now. But
we decided that the scumbag seller of the decade, at least the most interesting story was the Air Raid cart. The
Air Raid counterfeit attempt, because it had all the twists and turns. It had someone literally using pieces that they got from Home Depot and
PVC
and
painting.
It had really bad and bullshit responses back and forth.
Changing stories.
I think there was legal sort of threats thrown into people. It really touches on like the 5 points of being a scumbag seller, I think.
We don't remember all the points, but you will as soon as you watch it right now.
This is a throwback right now. We never did this before in the middle of a podcast, but watch right now. Ooh. We haven't done this in a while, have we?
No, we haven't.
Now I'm going to put in the reverb. For you guys, the scumbag seller of
the week.
Week, week.
I said I'll put the reverb in later.
Yeah, well, you know, reverb that reverb. This is a fucking mess of a story.
You can start it then. Okay.
Sorry. I mean, so...
It's down under.
Someone Atari in games Australia was put an Atari up for sale.
Put an Atari?
Yeah. With five games and...
A 2600.
Yeah. And one of them was a box complete copy of Air Raid.
Air Raid, if you didn't know,
is probably the rarest known.
It's one of the rarest games.
Yeah.
You can go into Gamma Attack or Red Crossing, but it's the holy grail of Atari 2600 collecting.
Correct. And it's hard to start the story because it's weird. So basically, someone saw it and did a side door. Someone saw this and did a side door deal, basically. And went over and offered about $500.
We think that's what happened. We're not sure.
We think. Well, a lot of this seems fabricated.
Yeah.
Then another one goes up for sale. Looks a lot like the original with a sticker slightly moved around.
From the same seller.
Air Raid is very unique in the fact that it comes in a sky blue shell. With a T handle on the top. And the pictures of this one show a T handle on the top. But when you compare it to the original, it's obviously a fabrication. Someone took a blue PVC T joint and super glued the fucker to the top of the cartridge.
Yeah.
Painted it blue and slapped a label on it. Because... Oh, by the way, this is courtesy of Atari Age. They seem like a good group of people to hang out with. I'd have a beer with them. They pointed out that one of the more hilarious aspects of this cartridge is, if you look, you can actually see the paint flaking off on the bottom of the cartridge.
Yeah.
So, anyways, they get into this whole back and forth, the Atari Age forum, with this lady... who says that it was her father-in-law's, and she's just trying to sell stuff, and she's not claiming...
It's her deceased father-in-law.
Her deceased father-in-law, right. Deceased father-in-law, so we're going for the sympathy. Like, look, if someone lost a family member, that's sad, but this is classic scammer 101 right here that we are seeing. I don't know what I have. It's from a deceased person's estate. I can't tell if it's real or not, so tell you what, let's meet in the middle somewhere.
So this is what probably happened. They run this weird story about, like, the same events in 2010 where it just happens to be in the picture. It's a rare game that's worth a lot of money. And then they close the auction to gain credibility that, hey, I sold this to someone cheap, and I happen to have another one. Not just a game that there's only, like, three in existence that are boxed, but I got two of them. So it builds some sort of weird credibility. They sell the second one, and then when people start looking at the picture of the cart and realize, are those glue marks?
Yeah.
Is that two different pieces? Because an Air Raid cart is one plastic molded piece.
And there's no overlap. But there's huge overlap
As someone pointed out, the box looks like shit. The box looks clearly like a scan of one that already exists, because there's only a few of them it has the same creases on it.
I think it's the guy who runs Atari Age. There's a picture of his box, and you can see creases in the lower left-hand corner of his box. And not only does the counterfeit box look like shit in terms of DPI, but you can see where they used the picture, the previous picture, to make the counterfeit box because there are fake crease marks in the lower left-hand corner.
Yeah, so if you're trying to do a fake Air Raid, it's pretty tough for the boxes because, like I said, there's like three boxes. So if you do an Air Raid box fake, there's not much to go off of in terms of faking it. It's not like trying to fake even a Stadium Events box where you can find a lot more pictures. Like I said, there's only about three boxes. And it's not like this is a who cares, because a complete in-box Air Raid went for like over $30,000 a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this game is so incredibly rare that they weren't entirely sure it was called Air Raid until they discovered the box, and that was only like 6 years ago.
Right, because the label doesn't say it.
The label doesn't say it.
So what was even weirder was They actually went back to change the story. Now, of course, they know nothing, right? I mean, they're innocent. They're totally innocent.
I got a dead dad or something.
Well, what we've been told, what we didn't show in the picture, what we didn't notice before was that it says beta copy on the outside of the box, and it says beta copy on the manual. So what we might have here, the reason why the handle might look weird is because we have a fucking totally unique thing. You fucking scum fucks. They're not going to put a beta copy of anything in a production box
for a company that they're not even still clear about where the hell this came from, by the way.
But you're not going to print, you're not going to do a full label for a beta, essentially a prototype.
Yeah.
They're not going to do a full label, full packaging. They're not going to put a fucking manual in a beta copy of a game. So that's also horseshit.
So Menavision, which was the people that published this, they think there was some sort of, I think, Atari Age people, correct me in the comments, that I think they thought it was some sort of based out of some subsidiary in California, I believe, but then it came from somewhere else in maybe South America. I think it's a weird story, like, that they're not even totally positive. Again,
so like the game was coded somewhere
imported,
else, and then
they imported it. Again, like, this is a game that loose goes for thousands. And again, they didn't discover the real name with the box. They always thought it could be Air Raid, but they didn't find the box until fairly recently. And I think there's only one copy with the manual, too. And by the way, this one has a manual. Of course, it's totally different, you know. So the whole thing stinks, obviously. The whole thing stinks. This person sucks ass. It's funny. It gets better.
I know. I think you're about to say the same thing.
It gets better. Not only is this
slander.
Not only is this pickup only in Australia. So I guess the person went to the Atari Age forums, the person with the alleged Air Raid multiple carts, and...
Rosa.
They posted updates on the eBay.
Yeah, I know. They
going after the administrator of the Atari Age forums, saying, just to clear up any discrepancies, the item in question belongs to my late father, capitalized. The advert was written up by my husband, and that's who wrote father-in-law. Then a bunch of other bullshit. Again, belonged to my late father. We're not familiar with this collection and don't know its true value. We put it on eBay, listed it correctly, never mentioned the word authentic, nor are we saying it is. Hands clean. It's fake, but we're not saying it's not fake. You know,
this goes back to the proto. This goes back to the bootleg story I told at Luna. It's just because you didn't say that doesn't mean that
It's your responsibility. We were in the process of talking to Cash Converters, which I guess is some sort of business down there, and also obtaining an AFA rating through a software house or a comic shop. I guess they get it authenticated. Yeah, because you're going to authenticate an Air Raid down in Australia that easily.
Yeah.
You know? We will also try EB Games. Yeah, that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
EB Games. They're going to know about an Air Raid cart. We feel that we've been wrongly accused of scamming or misrepresenting the item. We are open for anyone to come and view the item at any time during the day or early evening.
Once again, classic scammer behavior when things start to go wrong.
We have also notified eBay that members of the Atari Age Forum are trying to shut down our auction. By the way, the grammar is fucking horrific in this, by the way.
They space before punctuation and after punctuation.
Yeah, so there's like two spaces before the comma and one after. This I could understand and also accept if all the allegations were true. Our advert clearly states its description correctly. This product, as mentioned, was my father's. It's the fourth time they mentioned it.
Yes.
And how it's advertised is correct. It's an Air Raid game. Because we don't know of its origins, it's been advertised as is. So all I ask is people to keep their opinions to themselves. And if you have any questions, please email us. If Atari Age continues with the slander, I will make sure appropriate action will be taken to have it stopped.
And then they said they do.
I feel that I have been attacked and accused in disrespect to my late father, fifth time mentioned. Any further comments should be refrained. Thank you in one word. And there's more. There's more.
So much more.
Just a quick note. The
Cliff's Notes.
All caps.
Yeah.
The boys in the Atari Age forum all say this is fake. Let's go with that, boys, if that makes you happy. Fake, fake, fake. Air Raid, fake, fake, fake. This is the seller.
This is in the eBay listing.
This is in the eBay listing, which I'll link to. It keeps going. Perhaps you can all throw a party now. Yippee-yay. And you call me a liar? Oh! Just not sure what I actually lied about. Is there something I missed in my listing? Or perhaps you boys can't read. LOL.
Well, and here's what's humorous. Correct me if I'm wrong, but by admitting it's fake right in the eBay listing, isn't that just completely... Destroying the terms of service.
There's more than the, in big bold capital Atari Air Raid old reproduction. Old reproduction. Yeah, I'm sure they glued one together in 1986. There's more. In saying that the above about being an old reproduction, we do not know for sure as they're receiving. It's fucking batshit crazy.
No, it's insane.
This is absolutely insane. No. I hope they add us to this auction because this is great.
Add me. Sue me for slander.
And then finally, Albert Yaruso, owner of the Atari Age forums this afternoon, was reported to the Cyber Crimes Unit of the Australian Federal Police.
Quick, Albert, get a tent and head to the woods.
His website, Atari Age, has been slanderous against our family by purporting that we are fraudsters, despite numerous requests were made for him to cease the thread, but all has failed. We have tried to work with him, but all to no avail. Two spelled wrong. T-O-O. All emails and website links have been forwarded to the AFP for review against him in defamation and bullying, which is a serious crime, and carries a prison sentence if convicted. I'm sure the U.S. would extradite right away to Australia. This is very serious.
You fucking bully trying to keep people from buying fake bullshit. It's just insane. I would like to thank Atari Age for giving us two fantastic threads in about 2 months, because they really have. Just the best work reading I've had in a minute.
I want to see this added to this thread.
Yeah.
And there's questions and answers too afterwards, but this is the best, could be the best scumbag seller ever.
Come at me, Rosa.
I'm just going to say this, if Rosa's your real name, and if your dead father-in-law had this, it doesn't fucking matter if your dead cat gave you this game. It's your responsibility to know what you are selling when it's a game that goes for tens of thousands of dollars in this condition that you have to do your research for. And then if people say, hey, this is fake, you don't wash your hands of it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you wash your hands in Australia, the water goes the other way around the drain.
Boom. Reoccurring theme in this podcast. You cannot try to pass off something as fake and then when someone calls you out afterwards be like, oh, we didn't know, or oh, all you had to do was ask me, or oh, we weren't claiming it was real.
You can't do that. You cannot claim ignorance. It doesn't work with the police. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in a court of law. And please, please add us to this eBay listing. It would make my day.
It would. It would be an honor, Rosa.
Yes. Ooh, and we're back. That was a fun one. That was a scumbag seller
of the decade.
Aid.
Scumbag janitor of the decade.
That guy's lucky he's alive in Charlotte. He's lucky he's still alive. I could be in prison right now, Ian. Hey, what happened to Pat? Oh, he's in prison for killing a 75-year-old janitor
who made fun of his sneeze.
The rise and fall of Pat Contry.
So it's a little late, but I, for the holiday, you know, I'm feeling a little holiday spirit. This is the last day of the holidays. Last day of the decade. I'm going to do a Tales from the Game Store.
Tales from the Game Store.
Gonna do one of these.
It's been a while.
So Lane and I are working together, and it's right before Christmas, or is it post Christmas? I actually can't remember anymore. I think it was probably post Christmas, like maybe the day after.
Two scoops.
And we're sitting there, and it's been a fairly busy day, but it cleared out for a little bit. And this family walks in. Mom, Dad. It was the day after Christmas, I remember now. Mom, Dad, younger kid, and teenage kid. Now, younger kid is probably about 8 years old. He runs into the store ahead of anyone else, and he's like, you guys were closed yesterday, and it was my birthday.
Meaning his birthday was on Christmas?
Meaning his birthday was on Christmas, okay. Just like Ricky Henderson. So I'm like, okay, I'm sorry about that. And he's like, so we're here today. And I'm like, all right. Great.
So a little aggressive from the start.
A little aggressive from the start.
Okay.
So then, you know, mom and dad walk in, and teenager. Teenager looks to be, I would put him at, I'm going to put him like smack dab at 16 years old.
Okay. Middle of a teenage year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Smack dab at 16. So they walk in, and the dad goes, all right, well, if you see a game that he goes, we're here for your brother. He looks at the teenager and goes, we're here for your brother, but if you see a game or something you want, let me know. Okay. Now, Lane, meanwhile, is like...
has a feeling.
So I look at her and I'm like, all right, I don't say anything. But it seems like she's dealt with these people before. So, teenager, we're gonna call him Brewster. Brewster goes over and starts looking at the immediately goes and starts looking at the systems and goes, "I found what I want. I want this GameCube." And the dad's like, the dad goes, "Yeah, okay, that's fine." And the mom goes, "No. No, you're not getting it. You have 5 systems. You have 6 systems at home. You have too many systems. You have too many games in your room." And the dad's just sitting there looking like just dopey. Dopey. I mean, he looks like wet pizza dough.
He's out of it.
Yeah, he's just got this incredibly dumb look on his face. Life has steamrolled him.
He's done.
Yeah, he's done. He's given up.
This is after Christmas, by the way.
This is after Christmas. Okay. This is a guy who says yes to his kids all the time. And the mom is... just right here, she is putting her foot down. And the kid looks at his mom and goes, "Well, that's a shame."
The 8-year-old said that?
No, the teenager says that.
Okay, that's just
no, the 8-year-old, meanwhile, is looking around.
Being fun,
okay. Looking at games, not causing any problems.
Okay.
And the mom's like, "No, if you want a GameCube, you're going to have to go home and you're going to have to find a system that you no longer want and you're going to have to sell it."
This is like his childhood system, maybe the GameCube, right? 16? Yeah. 2003?
Hold on. We're getting there. Okay. We're getting there. Don't worry.
Lots of ins, lots of outs.
So he's like, "All right, I'll get rid of that little one I got." And she's like, "Which one?" And he goes, "The little one." He looks at me and he goes, "Can I get this GameCube, please?" He doesn't say please, actually. He says, "Can I get this GameCube?" And the mom's
the
like...
"The little one."
"The little one." Like, what's the little one? The little one I got from the flea market.
The PC Engine? That's a little one. I mean,
so the mom's like, "No, we're not here for you. We're here for your brother. Your dad said if you find a game that you want, you know, we can maybe get you the game. But your brother is here to get games." And he goes, "But mom..." And he looks and, like, I swear... He goes... "But mom, I want to play Super Mario Sunshine." And then with emphasis, "It would bring back such good memories." At this point, I turn around and walk right out the back door because I'm fucking dying. I'm doubled over that this kid who is like 16 years old is screaming at his mom in the middle of the store about the nostalgia he needs to feel for Super Mario Sunshine.
Maybe that's the last time he had joy as a child.
So,
like only like 12 years ago.
So... I fucking get it out of my system and I walk back in.
Did Lane laugh?
No, Lane is literally like this with her head in her hands behind the computer. So I come back in and the mom's like, you know, they're still arguing. Basically, she's putting her foot down. And she's like, "You know, you're not leaving here with it." And she looks at the dad and the dad's like, just makes a shrug and puts his hands up. So she goes, "You'll have to have a second choice." And then the kid goes, "Fine." And he looks at me and he goes, "I want a copy of Pokemon Plantum."
Plantum. No, I'm not the biggest Pokemon fan. I don't think there's a Pokemon Plantum, though. Plantum. Gotta plant them all.
Well, the joke I made to Lane afterwards was it was the Pokemon game that was all grass type. There was nothing but grass type. The only time in the history where all 3 starters were grass type.
Okay, so he probably meant platinum.
He did, yes. Okay. Yes.
All right.
And I said, "Pokemon Platinum?" I said, "We don't have any copies of that." And he goes, "See? See, this is what I was afraid of. I can't get the GameCube, and they don't have Pokemon Plantum."
That's what he, that was his fear.
That was what he was afraid of.
That's what kept him up.
He goes, so I don't have my first choice, and I don't get my second choice. And then the dad goes, how about choice three?
Oh, no.
How about a jumbo jack?
What?
A jumbo jack.
What the fuck is a jumbo jack?
Jack of the Box's version of the Whopper.
I'm still thinking of kids.
The kid looks. The kid.
So he offers him a burger.
He offers him a burger. The kid looks at the dad, and there is hate in this kid's eyes. There is hate in this kid's eyes, and you can see the dad. You can see the dad kind of shrink back a little bit.
He but even he,
but he's got like the big smile. He's like,
Jumbo Jack.
He's like, option three, couple of Jumbo Jacks. We'll go to Jack in the Box. And the kid goes, the Jumbo Jack sucks, Dad. Jack in the Box isn't even going to be making them for much longer.
Wait a second.
I turned around and left the store again.
Wait a second.
I turned around and left the store. The kid told his dad that the Jumbo Jack sucks.
Wait a second.
It sucks. They're not going to be making it for much longer.
Wait a second. There's like all these layers here. So the dad is in such a state of mind that he's offering a kid a burger he's 5 years old.
He's trying to placate the child.
Like he's 5.
With promises.
But he's a 16.
But he's a 16-year-old guy.
But then not only has his son had the Jumbo Jack and realized it's crap, but then knows the inner workings of Jack in the Box International LLC or LTD to know that they're not going to make him anymore.
It's just one of those spoiled teen outbursts, because there's no way that Jack in the Box is not going to be making their signature sandwich anymore. It would be like Burger King. It'd be like saying the Whopper sucks.
The Whopper sucks. No,
they're not going to be making the Whopper.
It's their number one item.
They're not making the Big Macs anymore, Dad, because I can't get Pokemon Plantum. In a GameCube.
So meanwhile, the 8-year-old's looking around. The 8-year-old's just oblivious to this.
The mom, at this point, goes, that's it, and walks out.
That was it for her. After the kid, spoiled brat, had an outburst.
8-year-old looks up, looks around, and goes, okay, I don't see anything I want. Have a good one.
Oh, no. No. The 8-year-old's... Oh, the 8-year-old wants family to be normal and nice.
The 8-year-old was a little enthusiastic, but the 8-year-old was fine the whole time. Other than being upset that we were closed on his birthday, the 8-year-old's fine. So the 8-year-old, full of smiles, just walks out the door.
Oh, that's the good kid, and his fucking stupid bratty older brother ruins his fucking birthday. He can't get a game. I would say this. Why did the parents give him a game on his birthday, which was Christmas? Give him an extra game.
So then the dad and the kid stay in the store. The kid walks around for a little bit more. The dad's like, well, do you see any, like, game that you want?
For the 8-year-old.
No, for the teenager.
I'm going to fucking...
The 8-year-old is already...
I'm going to find this fucking teenager.
The 8-year-old is already left.
I'm getting so annoyed.
The 8-year-old
is left.
I'm
getting so annoyed.
The mom has left.
I'm getting so fucking annoyed now.
The teenager walks up to the DS games, starts looking, and goes, yep, no copies of Pokemon Plantum. And goes, and the dad's like, anything? And he's like, no, if I can't get the GameCube, there's nothing here I want. And they leave. And literally, I kid you not, as they're leaving the door, the dad, to like fucking put the bow on it, the dad puts his arm around the teenager and says, let's go to Jack in the Box. They leave, and I look at Lane, and she's just like... She just throws her hand up, and I go, well, that was something. And she goes, oh, you haven't dealt with them before? And I was like, no. She goes, oh, that's the story every time they come in.
Oh, my God.
She's like, the 8-year-old is perfectly well-behaved, and the 16-year-old comes in, and if he doesn't get everything he wants, he flips out. So then she goes on to tell a story about how they came in looking for a Nintendo 64 once. They didn't have any at that location. So she called up the Chula Vista location. Walter had an N64 down there. They went down to go get it. And Lane, sensing that there might be some trouble with this family, calls up Walter and goes, "Hey, Walter, I know you, you know, it's what we do, but just make sure you show them how to clean the games."
Sure.
And the games are very clean because X, Y, and Z. So Walter calls an hour later and he goes, "Lane, what the hell was that?" And Lane's like, "What?" So Walter goes on to relay the story that they went down there to go get the N64. And Walter goes, "Now, I'm going to show you how to clean the games. You're just going to want to make sure the games stay clean." And all Walter did was start to show them how to clean the games. And the 16-year-old goes, almost crying, "Well, then I don't want any of it."
What?
And Walter's like, "Huh?" He's like, "Well, then I don't want, if I have to clean the games, then I don't want any of it."
Oh my God.
And the mom apparently at this point is trying to like, "Excuse me." She's like, "No, no, honey, it's fine. I'll clean the games for you every Sunday."
This kid's a fucking nightmare.
Yes, and he's a nightmare of his parents' construction. And I guess like Walter was listening, like talking about how the mom was going to like take, like just to try to get him to not have this freaking outburst, "I'll clean the games for you." And he's like, "No, no, I don't want it." So they went to one store, then all the way down to the other store, had Walter pull like 5 games, the system, and then they walked out because the kid said he shouldn't have to clean any of his video games.
This poor 8-year-old boy. I want to adopt this 8-year-old. I'll be the big brother of this 8-year-old because the father is toothless. Should have slapped the 6-year-old around when he was younger, not to be a fucking giant baby.
Fucking dad suffering from meat mouth from all the Jack in the Box.
Meat mouth?
Fucking, he's got a bad case of meat mouth.
This poor 8-year-old was going to come and get a game for his birthday. Nice, well-adjusted little kid. And we don't know if his older brother terrorizes his 8-year-old like at the house. Probably does. And the older brother's the biggest... Man, I don't want to threaten violence against a 16-year-old, but holy shit. I'm like, this is like...
16-year-old.
What's that?
16-year-old.
16-year-old, that's what I mean. Like, holy shit. Hey, ruined his brother's birthday. Or birthday, whatever, outing. And the mom tries to be the bad cop, but the father's toothless. And goes to Jack in the Box, gets a burger. He gets rewarded for bad behavior. That's just reward kids for bad behavior.
And I want to be clear, it didn't seem like it was any sort of like learning disability or anything like that.
He's an asshole.
It just seemed like every fucking asshole 16-year-old kid who is spoiled rotten when you were growing up. You knew that everyone out there knows this kid. Everyone out there knows Brewster, who wants his Pokemon Plantum.
Brewster?
That's not
like Brewster's Millions?
Yeah, that's just what I... You know, Brewster sounds like...
Wow. Dumb well, that's a... Sounds like we have to have Lane on the show to talk about more stories instead of you. We'll get Lane sounds like it happens every week. Wow.
I don't want it.
Imagine what Christmas would have been like if this kid got one thing that he didn't think was the perfect gift, or it was. He's like Cartman.
And I almost felt bad for the mom in that moment until I heard the story that Lane told me. And it's like, okay, you're trying to put your foot down now, but it's too little,
it's too late.
Late.
You should have done the kid was 7.
Yeah.
This is a bad seed, it sounds like. Yeah. This is a bad seed. There's sometimes bad seeds, and you got to take care of them when they're young. You can't wait till their hormones are raging, and then they're complaining about games that don't exist and yelling about burgers
that
aren't good.
How about option 3? How about a Jack in the Box? How about a jumping jack?
Hey, buddy, how about option 3? How about a Jack in the Box?
How about some Jack in the Box?
He's just like, totally just mellow and just like...
Yeah.
Oh, hey, buddy, how about option 3?
The dad looks like he might have some... Like, he very...
He's
like,
on something.
Yeah.
He's on something.
He found an
he's
old...
He's on Prozac or something.
He found an old store Quaaludes to like just knock it out.
He's just like, hey. And that's the only way he can survive, maybe. Because he has his job and his bratty freaking kid, and who knows if the wife was mean too, or maybe that's from maybe the son's like the dad and the older son's like the mom. I don't know.
Who knows?
Poor. I mean, I want to find this kid and just like give him a hug and like some games now.
Yeah, he was fine, but yeah, like I said, Layden even said Layden was like, yeah, you know, the younger one never gives me any problem. She's like, it's just the older one who fucking is an asshole about
because
everything.
He's trying to keep the family together, the 8-year-old. He sees it coming apart at the seams.
Yep.
Kids are smart. He doesn't want the divorce when he's 8. He loves his parents. He probably still loves his dumb brother who probably terrorizes him He's just trying to get through grade school and get out through high school and get to college and get a good job. I'm not projecting or anything. I'm just saying, like, you know, when you're eight, you got goals. You got to get to the finish line.
That kid wakes up every morning and checks out the apartment listing.
You know, you see what's on the horizon. It can only get better when you get older. I've been there, 8 year old. I've been there. You know, I mean, your parents yell at each other every day. It's okay.
Plant them.
You'll get through it. You'll just when you're older, 20 years afterwards, you'll just make up for lost happiness from childhood. Maybe start buying those games you should have bought when you were 8 and you couldn't in the store. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it probably will. 8 year olds. I'm there for you, 8 year old. I feel a kindred spirit here with the 8 year old here. All right, well, that was a tale.
From the game store.
And it's got to come back more regularly. That was hysterical. It was one of the best. That was one of my favorite ones. All right, we have a Patreon poll topic. Ian, how do you access the CU Podcast?
Patreon.com/CU Podcast.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a YouTube subscription. We'll think about it. That's what you do. That's what you do in the new year. That's what it is. In third place, at 18%, this is our Patreon poll, which you can vote on once a week. After Star Wars Episode 9, is listening to the fans really such a good idea? 18%. In second place, hanging in there, 29%. The state of amiibo collecting 5 years in. This is the state of amiibo collecting. They're not worth anything. That's really the state of they're not worth
there
anything.
It is.
Go watch Reserved Investments, my new buddy, who has a great YouTube channel. We'll talk all about why new produced massively produced items will never be like something you can invest in. Anyway, thoughts and plans for 2020, personal, professional, 52%. Ian, what are your thoughts for 2020? Come up in any personal plans or you know, resolutions or behavioral changes? Or
I'd like to DJ more.
Okay.
Doing that again over the summer was very good for my mental health.
I saw a couple of performances. Ian was into it.
It's a lot of fun.
He's very sweaty.
It was fucking 90 plus degrees back there.
You were moving,
though.
You were moving.
It was very, very hot. So I'd like to do more of that.
Are those still going on, those monthly things? Or is it
not in the winter?
Not in the winter?
No, we'll do it again.
Until March?
As soon as it warms up a little bit more.
Okay.
So I'd like to do that more. I would like to stream a little bit more just for fun. More just to get practice with. For personal reasons, I get very nervous doing it. I still get nervous when we do panels, but every time I do a panel, I get a little bit better at it.
Yeah. Exposure therapy.
Yeah, streaming more. It's not ever something that I want to do like full time, but it's I would like to get to the point where I'm more comfortable doing it. It's funny. I'm more nervous without having an audience than I am with an audience because
you have no feedback.
Yeah, with an audience, you have feedback. Exactly. Yeah. You can play off of it. With no audience, you know, and chat rooms aren't always bumping. You know, sometimes I've got 20 people in there, but people aren't really talking. They don't necessarily know each other. So it's tough to know what to do. One thing that I will probably not ever be doing again is editing video.
Wow. I was going to ask, when's that video coming out?
Never.
So it took you this long to realize you don't want it to be a video editor.
I hate video editing.
Just give you a newfound appreciation for us video editors out there.
I always had the appreciation, but actually like trying, it's not even so much the editing, it's the filming. I hate filming.
Okay.
Like writing out the editing isn't the worst. It's trying to film and storyboard and just see it all come together in my head.
You were trying to storyboard for this review?
But not exactly storyboard, but like just in my head, picture the beginning, middle, and the end. And I don't like it. The timing and the pacing of video editing, I don't care for it. I don't care for it at all. So I'll never do that again. And that's good. I tried it this year and
Hey, you're not good at everything.
I will not do it ever again. I hate it.
Okay.
I hate it so much. So much.
I'm just trying to get
so much.
So that means you're not going to do a review of my brother's game? Is that what you're not going to do it?
No, unfortunately, I'm not. I will just have to stream more of it.
But you didn't have to storyboard anything. You just like, hey, I'm Ian. Here's the review. You don't have to even show yourself.
It was the worst thing I've ever tried to do in my life.
Just record a voiceover.
It's
write a script.
Awful.
Now we have to release this.
It's absolutely fucking miserable. It's so bad.
Can I see the script at least? Can you show me the script?
No. I've shredded everything.
Come on, Ian. Let us know in the comments if Ian should be showing us that video.
So it's
come on,
it was
Ian.
It was the worst.
It'd be so bad. It's good. It can start a whole new channel for you.
But yeah. So, anyways, more DJing, a little bit more streaming.
No, that means no Ian's happy handhelds.
Yeah, nope. Nope.
Oh!
No Ian's happy handhelds ever. Streaming is about the... And this is probably about as far as you'll ever see me on a video screen.
Ian gets all the nice, easy benefits of being in these YouTube videos without doing the editing. It's like he gets the nice benefits of showing up, you know, having his beer and leaving.
I don't have beer. It's like fucking Diet Coke.
Well, whatever. It's just expression. You used to have beer a lot. People watch the best. They're like, oh, look at Ian drinking the beer like in the good old days. It's like, wasn't good for me.
So, there's no different. The difference is morning and night.
Okay.
So
anyway, you're gonna stream more.
Yeah.
No editing.
There it is.
No game reviews. No Ian's happy handhelds. I could always write the Ian happy handhelds or edit it.
Slipping down maybe another 5 pounds and put on a little muscle. There we go.
Why don't you go to the gym with Pat? You're afraid of me.
Don't want to go to the gym with Pat.
I'll show you how to nice left jab. No. Defend yourself a little bit. Yoshi wants us to roll together, all three of us.
Exercising is a very me and me only thing.
Okay, fair enough. You exercise with Bonnie sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we go to the gym at the same time.
But you don't do things
we,
together.
No, we split off split and we meet up. I mean, I might, you know, get on the elliptical for 20 minutes next to her.
I think you'd like yoga. I think that would calm you.
The weird thing about exercise for me is I don't even listen to music or anything anymore when I work out or when I run. It's especially lately, my concentration has been bad. Like when I work out, I can actually, about 15 minutes in, I can zone out and kind of clear my head. It's very meditative for me. So I don't like doing it with other people.
But that's what yoga's for. It's meditation.
Sure.
And that's the whole point of it. You breathe, you focus on your breathing, and everything else gets zoned out. All right. So what are your personal goals then? Just dropping 5 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
The DJing is personal. I mean, it's not really professional.
Okay. You have a food podcast. That's a professional goal,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, I would you like know? To keep doing the food podcast. The food podcast.
We have a podcast in theory.
Yeah, in theory.
Gotta sell pins. Gotta sell now.
Extra Napkins is my other podcast, at eNapkins on Twitter.
You're not editing that one either.
Keep going with that. We don't do any editing on it.
Oh, you just do straight, and he does all the uploads, right?
I do all the recording and then the uploads to Google, and then he does the upload to whatever the fucking service is.
Okay.
So he schedules.
Well, the one service should take care of everything.
Yeah. I record him, he schedules them, and that's how we do that. So, yeah.
Okay.
There's that.
Okay. I guess it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Professional goals. I was going to do a whole year in review to the camera thing on my channel. I still might do it. You know, I haven't done an update video, YouTube update video. Definitely professional goals. I will probably start outlining the next book within the next couple of months in terms of what I want to do with it. I mean, that's fairly simple for me at this point. But sort of thinking about how much money and time to put into it. And
Fairchild?
Yeah. Yes, the Fairchild Guide. Yes, Ian. Weren't you supposed to be collecting Emerson Arcadia games at one point?
Whatever the yellow cartridges are.
Well, that's Fairchild.
Fairchild.
I thought you wanted the Emerson Arcadia
ones.
You want to collect all, it was like 23
all 23 Fairchild games.
Okay.
Preeminent Fairchild collector.
Okay, I have both consoles. I have the Model 1 and 2 in the box.
Yes.
Speaking of that, that's a personal and professional goal, is to sell off half my game collection. I'm going to do it.
There you go.
Before the prices totally plummet next 3, 4, 5 years, I'm going to do it. I really want to do that. I want to clean the place up. I need a little more cash flow, just in case a couple of business things. Well, the one I talked about before, the Barcade thing might happen later in 2020. If that's the case, I'm going to need some money. I'm going to need some cash to put into that. So that's going to be a thing that happens. The documentary is going to come out. It's not out yet. But I have a feeling it's going to be a fairly good reception. It's going to be screening at PAX East, I think 9 p.m. that Friday. Knock on wood, that's the last it was. So I'll probably be at PAX East again. I haven't been there in a couple of years. Hopefully the Teamsters don't bend me over again in the books. I'll have to figure out what to get my books there to the booth.
You over in the books? That sounds...
Bend me over all over the books, yes. Teamsters charged me like $1,200 to move the books 100 feet, yes. That's going to be good.
Randy in the stacks.
Okay, Ian, now it's turning into an early 80s porn. Okay. I might have the opportunity to maybe be with another documentary. Someone I talked to at a convention wants to do a pinball documentary. Could be something there. I get to find out more. There's a lot of behind the scene things that are might be happening in 2020, but there's like opportunities that have come to me here and there. He knows about most of them that might come to fruition in 2020 that I really can't speak about right now. So 2020 might be like a really weird year because I might be like behind the scenes Pat Moore and splitting her off and doing more and more things like that. We'll see. I'm good at like managing things like that. So we'll see there. I do though want to write fiction again, besides, you know, these little scripts or these YouTube videos and stuff. I want to write fiction. So I thought about writing like some like a children's, you know, preteens sort of adventure book. I've thought about that because I used to write when I was a kid. That's what I would write in grade school. I used to write, I used to call it My Strangest Vacation, which is funny. Then Stranger Things comes out. It was about monsters and things like that and adventures and things like that. So I thought about that. If I had time, I could write something like that. I thought I could. I also want to write something. I also want to write another sort of feature length screenplay. I've written a few in my life, one I shot in college. So I want to do more fiction writing because that to me is easier and enjoyable, and nonfiction writing is like, it's okay, but that's more of like a chore, you know, versus
right.
when you write fiction and it's literally like flowing out of you. You can't keep up with how quickly you're writing.
It's like food poisoning, but writing.
More enjoyable than food poisoning, but yes, when I've written.
The flow is the same.
Yes, Ian, it dribbles out of you in liquid form. That's on the page.
Sometimes
yes.
You need a bucket in front and behind you. There's so much writing.
Okay, Ian, I don't know what goes on in your bathroom. You had some bad, you know, gas station sushi. But writing is the one thing where I could, at least, not that to brag about, but writing's the only thing I think that's ever come semi-natural to me that I think I'm actually good at. Everything else, I had to work my ass off, which everyone works at everything. But you know what I mean? Like, everything else never came natural to me. I had to, like, really work and struggle to try to be decent at. But even talking on a podcast, I had to work on that in college. I had a radio show. So, but... writing is probably my true love, I'd say. I want to take a couple of master classes online, writing ones, and sort of get back into the swing of things. That's why I moved to the West Coast, was to write. It was to be a writer, first and foremost. So we'll see. There's other things as well. There's a game I never talk about that I've invested money in that's going to be kickstarting next year. I want to wait till it's actually kickstarted in order to actually talk about it. So there's a lot. There's always like 18 things going on that I'm sort of jumbling and juggling in my mind. That I want to do that. In terms of other personal goals, I want to travel more. I want to go to Japan. I want to go to maybe Australia once the country's not on fire anymore.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Poor koalas are now functionally extinct.
Mm-hmm.
Climate change.
Yep.
The good news is that we have koalas zoos all over the world. When I say that, most of the eucalyptus plants are gone. So there's not enough of them to sustain a population. So that's horrible. Besides other animals and creatures and people are now trapped on beaches in Australia. Sorry, this is a whole other tangent.
It is.
Are there any climate change deniers actually left out there? Please. At this point, please.
It's like an entire political party that's like one of their base tenets.
It's like the Whigs from the 1800s. Are there any left? There's like three people out there that can, with a straight face, say they deny climate change at this point anyway. So,
if it makes the rich richer, yes.
Holy fuck. Poor koalas. We got them at the zoo. They'll repopulate eventually, but, you know, it takes a while for... Sorry.
Koalas anyway. And 8-year-old younger brothers who have shitty 16-year-old older
yes,
brothers. Yes. This is your target.
We are collectively the shitty 16-year-olds on the planet right now.
Yes, we are.
Anyway, so I want to go... I want to travel more. I think in this year, Ian, maybe you disagree with me or not. I've been pretty even keeled in 2019 versus other years with everything.
Your moments.
Everyone has their moments, but and plus people have made it bad in terms of external factors.
Got a bad. I'm off teacher.
Anyway, so I think that's going to be my goal. Is like I focused somewhat on mental health more in 2019. Will continue more in 2020 and finding work life balance more. And I got to buy furniture for my bedroom, not throw my clean clothes on the floor.
Smoke some doobs.
Oh, I have to have a housewarming.
Doobies.
I need a Castle Country housewarming. The CBD gummy should be enough.
Smoke a doobie.
No, the CBDs are fine.
Doobie doobie.
The CBD gummies are the best.
Scooby dooby doo.
What is this, a Kevin Smith movie now?
Doobs. Fat doobs.
You're my am I the silent Bob, unsilent Pat?
Big doobies. All right.
And what else should I do, Ian?
Smoke a doob.
I think I'm fine with the CBDs. You know, I should be calmed down somewhat sometimes.
Yeah, you're fine.
I think I'm fine. This is the least crazy I've been, I think, since I've been in San Diego. I can honestly say that.
I got a bunch of free weed yesterday.
Like a Frank where he gets like just a fucking bag from someone who grows it in their backyard?
That's exactly what happened. Yes, yes.
And you know, Ian, maybe I'll smoke a joint with you. How about that?
Man, there you go. We'll fucking plan it out 3 months in advance.
What does that mean? You gotta be prepared for it?
Get a food truck outside.
Get a food truck outside? Yeah. No, we'll order DoorDash. We'll order cotillas. We got to do a marathon in March or April. That'll be the 10th one. Maybe the last one go out on top.
We do.
Maybe April, because March we have SoCal.
Yep.
And there's something else going on in March. No, there's nothing else going on in March.
The Ides of March.
There might be something else. Oh, end of February's PAX. We'll see. It'll be like spring, though.
We are rambling.
So what? This is a good topic. Well, 13 flea market manises are going to be edited this year.
13?
13 left.
13?
Yes.
Fuck. That's a lot.
Yes. You'll get 3 months, one a week. It'll be a flea market manis Friday. And then it'll blow up, and then I'll say, I don't want to shoot him anymore because you can't find anything at the flea market, and that'll be it. So, no more Ask Franks. Ian doesn't want the Ask Ian stuff to be seen the light of day. I think it'd be funny as hell.
We could do Ask Ian stuff, but I would want to record modern ones.
We shot like 2 hours. That's enough for like 17 episodes. Gonna Lysol that now.
Yeah.
My microphone. Anyway, all right. Well, thanks for that that nice Patreon topic, patreon.com/podcast. And we have one last topic, Ian.
We do.
We got a short one.
We have one quick Q&A here.
Q&A on the CU podcast. It's not really a question. It's from at S.A. Jewers, and they just linked to a PC Engine Pro board. So, are you okay? You're not getting power? There you go.
I'm amazed at how well this battery lasts. Every other laptop I've had, the laptop battery is gone in like 15 minutes. This one's pretty nice.
All right. Well, we do that. Q&A on the CU Podcast. This is from S.A. Jewers. And it's a link to a PC Engine Pro Boards site, which is, I guess, a forum site, Pro Boards. And someone named DigiPiggy on the forum linked to... I guess they linked to someone showing a mock-up of the PC Engine LCD monitor.
Portable monitor LCD. That's what it's called with that neat like PC Engine font.
So it's a little 16:9 LCD screen and a little gray little holder. Is it a flip-up? Yeah, it's a flip-up screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you insert it into the back of a little PC Engine, which are tiny. And once you do that, it looks... surprisingly like like the PC Engine where's the lock
LT
so it would look somewhat like that, except obviously this wouldn't have, you know, the D-pad and the buttons on it, but otherwise it looks fairly similar.
The LT, I believe, if you go to the side, does it have a port? Can you hook up the CD drive to?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. So that's the one thing, unless...
You have to buy an adapter, though.
Okay. This doesn't have a pass-through, so it wouldn't let you... One, you wouldn't have the onboard controller. Two, there would be no way to hook the CD drive up to this, I don't believe, once you attach the screen.
I think this... maybe there's an adapter for the... Was there two different CD systems in Japan? No, there was just one add-on. I have to look into it, but there's definitely an adapter you can buy that's very rare.
For that, yes. That I know. I'm talking about this.
Okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do the CD. But it's still pretty neat. It's a very small screen. It's a 16:9 screen.
It looks 16:9, but now I'm looking at this. It might be 4:3 like this.
No, that's definitely... that's definitely 16:9.
Because it's not long, vertically as long.
Yeah. So it looks like it would... I don't know if it would stretch it or if it would cut it off at 4:3, but it seems like wasted space.
But then again, you probably can't get 4:3 LCD screens. You can't probably get a source.
What you would want to do is... it looks
make
like
a bigger one and cut it off?
Yeah, and then mask it.
And mask it?
And basically just mask
but
it
there's
and
buttons
set
on the,
it to 4:3.
There's buttons on the front that I don't know what they do. There's
probably just... it's an LCD screen, so it like...
It makes built-in speakers, though, so you get the sound out of it.
It would be sound and brightness, is what I guess.
But then you also get an HDMI out for TV. That's intriguing.
That's, yeah, I think that's me. The more neat thing is the HDMI out. Who knows what it's doing? I can't tell here. It doesn't say what it's upscaling to, if it would look nice.
So, but then obviously it's not exactly as portable because you still have to plug in a controller in the front of your PC engine. This is basically a PC engine.
But the PC engine itself is small. So it's still kind of a neat, cute thing.
They have the same exact font for the LCD as they do for the PC engine LT. I got this from our buddy Carlson.
Yep, I remember. So, yeah, it's a neat little thing.
I don't know why that's sitting right there. It's kind of weird. that's where the Steam Events cart used to sit. Right there. Yeah, it's cute. For something like this, it's always, you know, what would the price be? Some of the comments are funny about that. The first one says, turn it into an LT, basically. It's like, yeah, except you don't have a built-in controller on there. HDMI out. Wowzers. The good news is that with technology, the screen will look a lot clearer than that old one. That's the good news.
I love Brandon. Brandon is snarky.
What?
Neat, but this is third party. I guess wait and see if the quality is good. And Brandon replied, it couldn't be anything but third party. NEC isn't exactly making very many PC peripherals these days.
I'm not sure what NEC has been up to. Columbus Circle Business so far has been doing reprints for MD and Super Famicom games. So this is a company called Columbus Circle that I've not heard of before. Like, if that's a foreign company, that's a weird name. Columbus Circle Super Famicom games? Let me look this up. Yeah, they've done releases before. They have stuff on PlayAsia. I've never heard of this. Columbus Circle is a company. Okay. They've done stuff before. Will be an actual product potentially. They've done like retro combo systems. So they've done like stuff like that, like the Hyperkin combo system, things like that. Okay.
Gotcha.
It's a weird name for a Japanese company though. Columbus Circle.
Columbus Circle also apparently did a fairly nice looking boxed complete Famicom version of Battle Kid.
Really? Okay.
Japan only. Yeah.
Work with our pal Jordan. Columbus Circle. Circles the globe, maybe? Columbus? Maybe that's what... You know, I'm just trying to think of the...
A circle in Japan is a doujin group. I don't know if this is what they mean, but a circle is what it's called, like a release group, like a group that makes like small games.
Releases.
It's a circle. And
Columbus, who knows what the hell. Okay, that makes sense. I just thought it was a weird thing. So this is a real company. They have a Famicom, Super Famicom combo, sort of Hyperkin, sort of like, you know, like the retro duo sort of thing. They've had that. If this comes out, we'll see what it costs.
Yeah, depending on the price, I might actually be interested in
$100.
It out.
Hopefully it's like $100, $80 for a little screen. The LCDs are cheap now, but who knows what the tech is.
Yeah.
Someone says they could have gotten a larger 69 screen because they are cheaper, set it to 4:3, and then put a 4:3 border over it so no one would even notice it is a widescreen. They can still do that. That's probably the best thing to do. That's the only thing, there's a lot of wasted space when you look at that. It could be, it's smaller than that screen. Once you crop it out, make it 4:3 on that, you know. This person said, this is how I do screen replacements for PC Engine LTs. Oh, good. Now I know I can go for someone for a screen replacement if I need it. Get a 5-inch widescreen and then set it for 4:3. Looks great. There you go. Okay. I think that's a nice little thing. We haven't had a PC Engine sort of thing happen in a while. You know, now you can buy, they're only $15. You can buy the, instead of finding a TurboGrafx, the adapter to make it AV composite, they now sell like those green ones for like $15-$20 that you can do it.
Yes. Our friend Ryan at Castlemania Games actually sells.
He does sell.
It's called a turbo charger or something instead of a turbo booster. It's basically
turbo booster, yeah.
It's essentially a third party turbo booster now.
Which is great
to do all that stuff.
Because turbo boosters are few and far between,
yep.
Especially the pluses. You can't find, well, the pluses get you the little backups for some of the games, but I still don't know how it works. Some sort of weird lithium backup inside there. But yeah, they're like $15-$20. Check out Castlemania Games for yours. It's called the Turbocharger.
I don't know what it was actually called, but it's something like that, and it's essentially a third-party turbo booster.
Yeah, there you go. There's no HDMI out. Is there an HDMI out cable yet for that?
For PC Engine, no. You can use like an HD Retrovision component cable with a Genesis adapter, I think. There is an HD cable TurboGrafx.
They got it.
For TurboGrafx, there is.
No, they got it. I'm looking at it right now. Let's see.
Yeah, for TurboGrafx.
For TurboGrafx, it's $35.
Mm-hmm. Hyperkin makes them.
Pound was going to come out with them. Now they all have them. $35, and you get the little adapter for 4:3 and 69. It's only $35. We have a solution now for almost every old console for HDMI. It's great. So, the past 2 years it's happened for all of them, you know. Oh, cool. You know, I'm going to start. Should I get a big LCD in here instead of having the little Magnavox monitor? It's adorable.
I don't know.
It's adorable.
It is.
What were you? We used. What were you used for the marathon last year? We used that TV, right? We used that one, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. We'll see what happens when it comes out from the Columbus Circle Group. All right. Well, that's it for this CU podcast. I got to edit it. Wow, I got to edit it. We're giving Kieran the New Year's off because right now it's like 8 o'clock in Ireland.
We're gonna go fire up the pressure cooker. Make some chicken.
That was a euphemism at first.
No,
you talked about diarrhea when it came to writing.
No.
Hey, you gotta watch out for that. When you have the Feast of the Seven Fishes, a lot of different things going on.
Because
you got so much cheeses and sausage and like salami and prosciutto. Combine that with like the fish stuff.
It's a perfect storm.
It's You gotta be careful. You gotta like moderate it. You gotta do like the perfect like ratio of different foods, or if your stomach bubbles up and you're in trouble. You gotta watch out for that there. Check out the Best of the CU Podcast Volume 1. Have you checked it out, Ian? The playlist I have?
No.
It's like 15 different things over like 2 hours. It's fantastic.
No, I have not checked it out.
A nice swirlway of topics.
I don't ever need to hear myself talk.
Well, no, Ian, happy handhelds.
Yeah,
no. You couldn't even do it on a cell phone, Ian's happy handhelds.
No, fuck it.
Over your shoulder.
Fuck it.
Just do it over your shoulder. Just free ball it.
Come on,
do one. Do
fuck
one.
Fuck it.
I got the golf game out there in the box.
Fuck it. Okay. All right. See you next year.
All right. We'll see you in 2020. Wow. Where are the flying cars? Why aren't we there yet? I guess we got to work on getting a place for the quals to live before that. It's more important. So, all right. We'll see you later.